Hello, everybody. I'm starting off this press conference as the new chairwoman of the United States. So essentially what has happened, everybody don't panic. Men have now been eliminated from the U.S. population. And you know, you might be thinking, what do we do here? What are we supposed to do? What I'm going to tell you is this is fantastic news. No more cisgender men, no more male privilege whatsoever in this nation. Now, there's a few first orders of business that we're going to get into. Business order number one is going to be that there will no longer be any pink tax on any female products. Secondly, toilet seats will always be left down in the United States of America. And we are now going to discontinue football and golf. All these horrible things that cisgendered men have contributed to our society are now going to be gone. We will no longer have to worry about this as females.
Chairwoman. Oh, I got
here.
What's
going on?
Oh, I got here as fast as I could. I'm from the United Federation of Mexican Women. And we were trying to get to this press conference, but on the way, our car had a flat tire.
Well, get a woman to fix the tire.
Do any women here know how to fix a tire? None of them?
Is there no woman that knows how to fix a tire?
Well, then our light went out in the meeting room, and so we had to change the light bulb.
Then get a woman to change the light bulb.
Do any of you women know how to change a light bulb? No? None of you?
Oh, we're screwed.
Yeah, kill me now.
And scene. That is our opening. It was a little chaotic, I'm going to be honest.
Because you spilled water.
Right as our opening started, I spilled water all over our table, and there's lots of very precious equipment.
And Scott and Tyler just sit there and just watch water spill all over the place.
Scott and Tyler, who have no jobs that involve being on camera.
No. Scott jumped into action, to be fair.
Scott did
After I pointed at the rag in the corner.
At the moment of truth, you will fail.
But let's get into it.
Good thing we had men around to rescue us from this situation. We would have been screwed.
Excuse me. Good thing you had a woman to, you know, take care of the theatrics of it all.
Well,
here's some wet tortilla chips.
Clean up a woman's mess.
Okay, let's get into our show for today. The reason we did that sort of cold open is because there's now a new trailer for FX. You can watch Will clean up the water in front of me. There's a new trailer for FX called The Last Man. Let's take a look at this trailer and see what they're envisioning here.
I'm fine.
Come on, guys.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Madam President, power plants will start to shut down.
Which city? All of them.
Somewhere is the answer to how this all happened and how we fix it.
Who are you?
Yorick.
You're reproductively interesting.
Wow. Okay.
People are gonna have to pick sides. They are hungry. Angry, terrified. We will rebuild together.
Whoa. So intense. There's only one man left in the world.
This show is literally what it feels like when I walk into a Whole Foods in Los Angeles. I feel like I'm the only man in that place.
It's what it feels like when I walk into Will's apartment.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Isn't it awesome how just badass women are? They're so sick.
Oh my gosh.
They're so cool.
They can carry the world on their shoulders.
Except they couldn't keep all of the power grid running.
Exactly.
All of them are down. Yeah. Oh no.
It's just like no new construction ever happens in the world that's ruled by women.
No slam dunk will ever happen again.
The press
No slam dunk ever again.
No one will ever touch the rim again.
That's hilarious. I want to read the tweet that came along with this trailer. It's by Amber Tamblyn. She says, "Hold on to your husband. We're about to bring you into a world unlike anything you've ever seen before. A world without cisgender men." Amazing.
Wait, so are there gay men in the show?
No, cisgender just means like I am a man.
Wait,
and
so if you identify as a woman, then you can not be killed by a woman?
I guess so.
I thought men and women didn't exist.
Well... cisgender
men. Wait, what if there's a woman who identifies as a man? Does that person get killed?
She dies.
Well, no, because that wouldn't be a cisgender man.
Oh, that's
right?
True. Wouldn't be a cisgender
loopholes,
man.
Loopholes, people.
Oh my gosh, we're all over the place. But no, I'm confused. I always get thoroughly confused when it comes to leftist doctrine.
No, these are very
doctrine.
Confusing. Listen, men are all fat slobs who just oppress women all day. And this is probably for the better that it's only women left in the world.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it'd be great. I wouldn't feel harassed. I wouldn't feel oppressed. I wouldn't feel racism. I wouldn't feel the patriarchy ever again if you guys weren't here. So
yeah, just wait until you need someone to change your car tire.
Exactly. That's when all hell breaks loose. Yeah.
Which for you is like in a week. Is like
that honestly
in 24 hours.
Yeah, it's honestly true. I have low tire pressure right now. And guess what? It hasn't been fixed because I don't know how to fix it. And I just don't take the time to fix it.
Well, that's really stupid. Listen, there are good ways to go about literature, movies, novels, all sorts of stuff like that, where it's only one gender in a certain place. Like mm-hmm. Lord of the Flies, for example, is a great book about what happens when you put all boys into one island and how they actually interact with each other. It's a really interesting read if you guys haven't read Lord of the Flies, and it's really well read or well written, and it's a very interesting novel. But the thing that you can already tell that's different about this one is Lord of the Flies, these boys turned into savages and they weren't very smart. And it shows just how chaotic things can be when you have people all of a certain sex trying to go for power versus this movie, which is all women in the movie. And it's like instead of them going into like total world chaos, all the women become super badass mm-hmm. and now they're fighting people and blowing stuff up and not even looking at it.
Right.
It's like, that's not how it works. Okay. They would die.
Within
2 hours.
Obviously civilization would die. You can't really procreate or do anything. It just amazes me that we live in this society now where it's like the future is female. It's like, no, the future is male and the future is female. And we coexist with each other and we complement each other. And right now we really don't live in a patriarchy at all whatsoever.
No, we
don't. Especially with content like this coming out.
No, we were talking about this on lunch. We live in a hyper feminized society right now.
Extremely. Women are really subpar women and men are subpar women. It's honestly what we're at right now. Men are like subpar women. They're women.
Oh, yeah. No, you have men trying to be more womanly and women trying to be more manly.
Right. Right. A man can never really be a woman, but they have all these effeminate characteristics right now in our society.
Well, the way that works is that you have men trying to be more womanly, but they can never be a full woman. So it goes down a little bit. And then you have women trying to be more manly,
right.
But they can never be a full man. So it's all here. So everyone, they want everyone to be on an exactly equilibrium that we all have the same amount of femininity and masculinity as every single other person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all supposed to be equal to them, which is not the way the world works.
We're supposed
obviously.
To raise boys and girls the same, William.
No. I want to chew my Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun and pretend I'm shooting my friends with it, okay? You want to have a little cupcake party with your friends with the Pop-Tart, okay?
With
it's totally
dolls.
Different thing. Exactly. It's like two different types of people.
Right. I don't think we should ever run away from the fact that women and men have biological differences, and we play into that. Our characteristics are completely different. It's totally okay that Will and Taylor are more assertive than I am. We experienced that at the restaurant for lunch. And yeah, we won't tell that story, but... they're more assertive than
They got Amala's order wrong, and she didn't want to say anything, and I asked them to fix it. And women needlessly suffer lower paying. This is why there's a wage gap. Because
that
it's like,
true.
Oh, I'm doing the best I can, and I know that they're going to take care of me. It's like, no, you have to push for yourself and be more assertive and aggressive. And, you know, that's not, doesn't come as naturally to women on average. And that's not a statement of a value judgment. That's biological reality. It's documented.
Right, right. We are more prone to be in sort of nurturing, caring jobs and occupations. Women care more for people. Men care more for things and status and being assertive and climbing up the career ladder, where women do not share that same sentiment. And that's totally fine. That's why we live with each other.
For now. Until we all die.
Until they're all gone.
Until all of us men are good.
Now, another example of this just sort of toxic feminism is what we should be calling it now. They want to call men toxically masculine. Let's call this toxic femininity. Here is a new advertisement out of Nike talking about dynasties. Let's get into it.
Today, I have a presentation on dynasties. But I refuse to talk about the ancient history and drama. That's just the patriarchy. Instead, I'm going to...
Already, okay, we're 5 seconds in. This chick comes up and she says, we're supposed to be talking about dynasties, but I refuse to learn about the patriarchy. Refuse to learn about ancient history or anything else because it doesn't have to deal with my immediate worldview of myself. What a selfish and vain thing.
Right.
Already.
And to call it patriarchy just blows my mind. It's like, where do you guys think women get the term patriarchy from? What lens are they looking through? Because when I see it, it's through the lens of maybe like rape or sexual assault, which women tend to be more often victims of. And that's what they use as an excuse to call it patriarchy.
I think it comes from this idea that women feel the need to be emancipated from this, from anything that has to do with a normal gender roles or gender norms around what they are. There's like a war on traditional, what is considered normal. And anything, if you make anything, any assertion or statement saying that, you know, women are more motherly or emotional or whatever, then that is patriarchal because you're imposing a sense of normal on how a woman should act and behave. And they feel the need to rebel against that in order to be emancipated or free.
But we do that with men, yet we call it a patriarchy.
It's wild. Since like the Dark Ages in lots of places in Europe, like the Franks and all and Germanic people, like, in the West, women had it way better than anywhere else in the rest of the world. And that's a lot because of Christianity. But women could own land. Women were great writers. I mean, all sorts of stuff that women could do that women couldn't do anywhere else in the world. In Somalia, they were mutilating people's genitalia, women's genitalia. In China, they were doing foot binding and all sorts of other horrible things that they're doing to women. America and the West is not this patriarchal society that you want to say it is. It has been a society that has been built on freedom for all sorts of people since its inception and has worked better than any other type of country or type of civilization to better itself and have people be the best that they can be.
If men were, if it was the male goal to create a patriarchy of some sort, I think the focus would be a lot more around control and a lot less what it is now, which is men and women getting married and a man typically going off to provide for you, to protect you, to make sure that you can live a life where you're able to nurture for your children and give them everything that they need. In what way is that patriarchal? To me, that is not patriarchal at all. And Jordan Peterson talks about this a lot, this sort of confused idea of the fact that we live in a patriarchy. When men are more likely to be victims of domestic violence, they're more likely to be victims of just general assault against each other, more likely to be victims of murder, homicide, more likely to die in war. And they're the protectors and providers in this nation. Yet we live in a patriarchy.
No.
Explain it.
It's this lady says we live in a patriarchy. So we obviously do.
This pink haired woman.
Pink or red? I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's keep watching.
Okay.
Talk about a dynasty that I actually look up to. An all women dynasty. Women of color, gay women, women who fight for social justice, women with a jump shot. A dynasty that makes your favorite men's basketball, football, and baseball teams look like amateurs. A dynasty with fire braids.
I've only watched one WNBA game before in my entire life, and you couldn't go 30 seconds without some lady falling on the floor. Okay? This is not a dynasty. No one watches because they are not as good as the men. It's just the truth.
Yeah, I think our WNBA, well, Taylor, we talked about this earlier. Our WNBA is good, comparable to what they are, being a women's basketball team.
Well, I mean, it is valid to say that the women's national, this isn't WNBA, she's talking about the women's national basketball team for the United States has won. Like, they have not lost a game since like 1992 and have won 7 consecutive gold medals, which is the definition textbook technically correct of a dynasty. And I don't think we're here trying to diminish that accomplishment. It's a cool accomplishment. But I think the way that they're framing it here in this ad is like, well, we, you know, screw Alexander the Great and the historical great establishment of real dynasties, women who fight for social justice. That's the dynasty. It's like, why do you need to spin this into your narrative? We can recognize athletic achievement on its own merits. We don't need to, you know, loop it into this big feminist narrative. But of course, they just can't resist. Because like, hey, oh, a woman did something successful. Let's turn that into social justice.
Right.
Like,
and we get to juxtapose that with what we view to be white supremacist, patriarchal, historical figures. They'll jump at that any chance that they get.
Totally.
Well, it is somewhat diminishing this. Because if they're going to come on and say that they make men, all these different men's teams for all sorts of different sports look like amateurs... Right. Come on.
Yeah, there's an incongruency there because the sport of women's basketball, like, of course, it's most developed of anywhere in the United States of America. And so the competition that these women face by all these other countries is likely nowhere near the level of competition that, like, the top NBA teams would have to play against someone else. Or, like, Tom Brady winning 7 Super Bowls is much more an admirable achievement if you take into the fact that who he had to compete against was the tip top of a very highly developed sport against people who are his equal. And these women are not necessarily battling people who are their equals just because the sport's underdeveloped in other areas. So even there's an incongruency there in the comparison that this is somehow as huge of an athletic accomplishment or a sports significant event because it's not a one-to-one comparison with the nature of the sport.
Yeah. And why do they need to put down the men anyway? Why do they need to
say
that?
Exactly.
Just say that we did something great and we beat other women. That's all you have to say.
No, which is great.
We got a bunch of gay women, and because we got gay women who are black and have braids, men suck.
Right, right.
It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why do you have to be so mean?
Well, let's watch more.
It's a dynasty with sick style, a dynasty with crazy dimes. A dynasty that makes Alexander the Great look like Alexander the... Okay. The dynasty that's been reigning for the past 25 years. It's undefeated since 96. The USA basketball women's national team, 7-time consecutive gold medalist. And most importantly, women that made it possible for girls like me to feel like they can be a part of whatever dynasty they want. The greatest dynasty ever.
Okay, guys, on our docket today for the ad, we have to make sure we have models in every single race. And we have to make sure we mention that some of them are queer.
Mm-hmm. And that they're all better than Alexander the Great. That a woman, a 24-year-old woman playing basketball
is better than
someone who literally took over the entire world. That makes total sense. How stupid do you have to be to say something like
that? It's just such a massive effort to denigrate our history and just degrade men. Yeah, absolutely. And to say that nothing that a man does could ever be as great as this small feat for women.
Why can't you say they're both great? Why can't you say that the women who are doing this, like getting all these wins, that is great. People care about that. They want the United States to win the Olympics. That's great. Why do you have to say Alexander the Great sucks? Why do you have to say he's Alexander the okay? This guy brought Western, this guy was amazing, Alexander the Great, and his military genius, the things that he did. So, yeah, I don't like it.
All in the name of women's basketball.
Which nobody watches.
Yeah, I mean, it really does diminish the achievement of these women because you're framing it in reference to Alexander the Great, and that's an unfair comparison. And you're having to denigrate men and rewrite history in order to elevate them. And you don't need to because they did something great. They beat all the other teams. They've been undefeated for a really long time. That's an awesome thing. But why do you have to try to lump them into this? It's like this, the ideology has to try to stamp out everything, you know, it has to stamp out history, it has to stand over men and try to emasculate our culture and history. And that's the real goal here. It's not to elevate the achievement of these women, because if it was, it would do it in proper context.
Yeah, while making no connection to the fact that these histories, the dynasties, Alexander the Great, are exactly the historical figures that made it possible for you to be playing women's basketball and to be making this Nike commercial right now. That's like why our culture exists. That's why our nation exists. It's like these people, they just stand on the shoulders of giants and they spit down at their feet and they do it every single day. And you see it just over and over. We go back to these historical figures, and right now we're experiencing that with the founding fathers of this country. Just because they are white, cisgendered males, whatever that means, they're just white men, people want to go and spit at their feet for what they've done, even though their existence and their ingenuity has made it possible for you to even do so.
That's, read 1984, everyone. If you haven't read 1984, one of the biggest parts about 1984 and the new world that is created within that book is that they take away history from the people. They don't want people to know history, because imagine when you have people who know history and they know about their culture and their upbringing and their families and all sorts of stuff like this, then they might realize that, wow, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 100 years ago, it was way better off than it is now, mm-hmm. right? But then you have no history. You have no shared history, culture, religion between people. Then you're totally becoming a nation of people who will be totally molded by the state. The state can come in and tell you whatever it is. What they do, they confuse you. They confuse you. They tell you lies. They don't ever tell you the truth. And so after a while, you're just bewildered and confused. And the only thing left for you to believe is stupid Nike ads and things that you hear from experts. That's exactly where we are, because they destroy our history. They confuse us with lies and tell us that it's good for us.
Right. So let's get into this little animated video that we found this morning that it shows us sort of the world that we're going to be going into. This is a video titled "It's a Woke World After All." Let's listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to It's a Woke World.
Destruction be our lot. We ourselves must be the authors and finishers.
It's a world of power, a world of fears. Any work long days to make souvenirs. All the millions of thought and the weakers aside. It's a woke world after all. It's a woke world after all. It's a woke world after all.
Communists, and I believe they are.
Whew, terrifying. Terrifying, terrifying, terrifying. I did not like watching that whatsoever because it's utterly realistic.
Also, it's just creepy. I don't like stuff like that. It creeps me out.
It creeps you out? Yeah. It's like a horror movie?
When I first went on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland, creeped me out.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because the little animatronic things?
Yeah, they're kind of creepy. I mean, I was a kid, you know, it's kind of scary.
But yeah. I don't know. It just speaks to where we're headed. It's like, this is the sort of indoctrination that we are putting our kids through. I would not be surprised if in one day in the near future, there was something like this that existed.
I wouldn't doubt it, because these things, like, someone will make this video and then people on the left will say, you're straw manning. We're not like this. We never, this isn't anything that we're like. And then in a week or a month or a year, something like this actually exists. And we're like, we told you so. We told you so.
Yeah, we're getting woker and woker by the second. It's all of this stuff. The left loves to use the word intersectionality, meaning that all your different identities, being black, being gay, being trans, whatever, are interlinked together. I think a lot of people don't understand that in this fight, especially for conservative values, is a lot of these issues are linked together. They're not all separate social issues. They are part of this broader and larger agenda to sort of destabilize where we are at right now with our families, with our country, with our institutions. And there's this massive effort to label everything that has ever been good as bad.
Yeah, I was reading Jonathan Haidt's book this weekend, The Righteous Mind. Taylor, he recommended it last week, and I will also recommend it now that I've been reading it, almost done with it. And there's a great stuff in there about how the right and the left are different, how people who are more conservative versus people who are more left, how they, the things that they value. He has these six moral foundations that he kind of lays out, which are harm, liberty, what are some of the other ones, Taylor?
Oh, gosh, you're putting me on the spot.
Harm, liberty, authority, pain, or purity. Some other ones. Anyway, but the things that liberals value versus the things that conservatives value is very interesting. Like, liberals and people on the left valued harm as their most important virtue, as in, like, the most important moral foundation. That if something is harming someone else, then they are totally, totally against it. Mm-hmm. Conservatives were more split evenly down the middle on all the different things. But it's super interesting to see the things that, that different people, like, actually care about and why they care about it because of their political opinions makes them want to care about different issues. It's like the woke stuff is something that is, into a conservative, makes absolutely no sense. And it's like, why do you care about these kind of things? This doesn't mean anything. It's all fake. It's all lies. Whereas a leftist will take this as their entire mantra about their entire lives, their entire religion, and say, I'm going to die on this hill.
Right. And the, we talked about this at lunch too, but like this, the culture of
how much did you guys talk about at lunch without
we
me?
We did talk about a lot at lunch.
Seriously.
Yeah, so many things. We learned all of Scott's dirty dark secrets.
I'd like to know those.
We have a hyper feminized culture right now, and like I think there's an overlap there with the aversion to harm of any kind, and it's really like direct harm. It's like the idea that, well, we have to shut everything down because one person might, the weakest possible immune system obese person might get sick, so you can't go to work today and you can't leave your house and you have to wear two masks and get jabbed four times. It's like that type of thinking, it feels like you are being protective and it feels like you're doing a good thing for that person, but the externalities associated with that that taking that actual approach to society are immeasurably worse.
Right.
And you're causing way more indirect harm by shutting things down, taking away people's livelihood, driving up depression, suicide rates, all that type of stuff. By doing this, not to mention taking away people's liberty and creating a totalitarian society. And that's where, like, when you have the woke religion seems to be something that is like tailor-made for people who have a proclivity toward like the moral foundation of you know, not inflicting harm on anyone. It's a religion of like, well, we have to create safe spaces and ideas, you know, can be violence and we have to protect people. You know, that's Jonathan Haidt's other book is about, The Coddling of the American Mind. It's about this like helicopter parenting, but mm-hmm. on a society level of like, we know, you know, you, the, and the balance of that is like, no, you're going to face hardship. You're going to be challenged. You're going to have suffering in your life, but that's how you become a resilient, stronger person. And America has become so successful, or became so successful, because it was a country built on resilient people and strong people. And our culture today is like, has swung in the pendulum of the total opposite direction, where it's all about being coddled and avoiding any direct harm possible. But the unintended consequences of that is you make a very weak and soft society full of weaklings, weak-minded people, and that it, you end up allowing a lot more harm to be done by virtue of the weakness that mm-hmm. you created, instead of, you know, making a society of resilient people.
Right. We talked about this at lunch yet again.
we should do a podcast from a lunch.
Yeah,
lunch
we
table.
Talked about yeah. this at lunch. Love's the name of the yet. Podcast.
To be fair, we were waiting for like 30 minutes for Will's burrito that he asked us to bring him. So
yeah, we
kept
him well.
Time.
We keep Will fed.
Sorry,
don't worry about him.
I was delayed.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
But yeah, something that we talked about was, again, I bring this up on the podcast so often, but it's Yami Park and her experience growing up in North Korea and then coming to the United States. And all these people, when she got here in the U.S., were saying, oh, you've experienced so much trauma. I mean, she lived in one of the most oppressive regimes humanly imaginable. And you should be going to a therapist and you should talk to a therapist about your trauma. And she laughed. She laughed. She's like, I can't imagine experiencing trauma like that and then leaning on it for the rest of my life, so much so that I have to go to a therapist and talk to them about it once a week. She said, I experienced it. I recognize that I experienced it, and you move on from it.
And she laughed at the idea of her friends who are like Wall Street bankers who see mm-hmm. their therapist like three times a week, even though they're living in posh Manhattan apartments and mm-hmm. a life of comfort and luxury. And you're like, you need therapy. And I'm the one who has, you know, seen more dead bodies than I can count when I was a child,
right.
And then did not feel empathy until I had a child, for, you know, my own child. Like, there's no comparison.
Yeah, and this is not to belittle the importance of mental health, because it's
sure,
a whole other argument that we can go
all
into.
All the caveats.
Right, all the disclaimers and then the prefaces for what we say. But yeah, it just goes to show that we are in a generation of weak, underdeveloped people.
There's a difference between the left and the right, where the right thinks that, you know, based more on a Christian worldview is where the right comes from, and is more of a, we think people are inherently bad and that we as a society have to continually fight against evil. That's what conservatives kind of believe. And the left believes that more people are inherently good and can be prosperous, and the world can be prosperous if only we get rid of, you know, the couple evil people who are in the world making mm-hmm. it worse. So that's kind of the difference there. And this is why you see a lot of liberals calling conservatives evil, because they think that we are the stoppers of progress, their progress, and why conservatives will call people on the left and say they are misinformed, because we think that they are inherently born badly, but need to know the right stuff so they can actually be moral people, according to us. So it's a different way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, it's super interesting to think yeah. about why people think the way that they do. I'm obviously much more on the conservative side, and I do think that people are more inherently born bad, and that you have to fight against sin and fight against your sinful nature and all of that. Whereas the left believes the opposite. And I think that if we can convince people on the left to believe that sort of type of way, I think we can get a lot of things done.
And that's a perfect segue, Will. It's going to lead us into our 5-minute video of this week. And the title of it is Why Even Atheists Should Teach Their Children About God. I think one of the great disconnects in our nation right now is that we are becoming increasingly secular. We are devoid of God. And that doesn't matter whether or not you believe or whether or not you ascribe to a certain religion, but just refusing to teach about Judeo-Christian values at all through some sort of understanding that they are patriarchal, that they are racist, that they are discriminatory, and that they are founded in some sort of evil principle. It's wild how secularized we've gotten as a nation, and how not even secular, we are against religion. We are against Christianity. So let's play a little clip of this video. If you want to watch the rest of it, go to PragerU.com, click watch, and go to 5-minute videos. Here we go.
As a therapist, I'm often asked why depression and anxiety are so common among children and adolescents. One explanation, almost surely the most neglected, is declining interest in God and religion. I see the consequences of this in my practice almost every day, and this is not merely my personal observation. A 2018 Harvard study involving 5,000 people examined how being raised in a family with religious beliefs affects the mental health of children. The study found that kids who attended a religious service at least once per week scored higher on psychological well-being measurements and had lower risks of mental illness. Weekly attendance was also associated with higher rates of volunteerism, lower probabilities of both drug use and early sexual initiation, and a sense of purpose.
There we go. Right off the bat, we're not even a minute in, and all the benefits you get from being involved in some sort of religious practice or just simply learning about God. It's an interesting thing to think about, all the different benefits that come along with not only subscribing to a Christian belief, but just practicing religion.
Yeah. For me, the benefits are, a somewhat afterthought, because the main point of why you're doing it isn't for the perks of doing it. You're doing it because
right.
you're giving your life to Jesus Christ. But it is still wonderful that all these great things come about it. It's like, even if it was, you know, not true, let's say, then you still get good benefits out of it regardless.
No, it's true. And it's just like, you can see, look at how depressed and anxious and socially deprived our newer generations are. And it's because they don't have this sort of interaction. And also not having belief or not trying to find belief is just such a nihilistic way to look at things, because in their minds, they're experiencing all this suffering. And for what?
Right. Yeah. As a person of faith, I'm a Christian, and I'd say like one of the best sources of evidence for my faith is the fact that when I live as though it's true, it works. Life mm-hmm. works. If I live as though what God says in the Bible is true and the right way to live, and I listen to him and try to follow his ways. Life, and it's not that Jesus says you will have trials and tribulations in this world, mm-hmm. but like that's the point. It's not that everything goes peachy for you and you get big cars and a fancy life and everything. Like that's not what Christianity teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. But it is that if you live according to the wisdom that it gives you with how to deal with suffering in your life, if you live as though the like sowing and reaping and things like that, it works. And I don't know any other frame of living, and I don't want to know because I mean it's. I don't know how people do it without God. Like I found the courage to leave what I was doing and move out here to LA 5 years ago because I felt like it was something God was orchestrating in my life. And it was like out of my relationship with him and the religious worldview that I was given, like that gave me a paradigm to even have the courage to leave where I'm from and follow the hero's journey like Abraham did and go and find your purpose. And so anyway, I just, that is, it's such an important thing, and I think it's invaluable, and I'm very grateful to have been raised in a religious upbringing.
Yeah, I was not.
But you found it.
Okay. But I found it. My mom was not religious whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Great mom, of course.
But I know plenty of people who were raised in it and then take it for granted and then go crazy, and so it goes both ways.
No,
but the truth, what matters is whether you discover the value of these truths. I'm going to call them truths because it's not just ideas, it's not just principles. If it is true, then it will work. And so I think if you live as though it's true, it does work. And so why change the hypothesis?
Let us know down below if you guys ever want us to speak more on religion. We have an interesting sort of panel of people here because we're all in separate stages of a religious journey. Taylor being born and raised in the faith, and his parents are missionaries and did biblical work their entire lives, continue to do so today. You have Will, you know, the sort of newborn Christian. And then you have me, the agnostic, who is continuing to search. But I think I find the interesting thing is that people who are devout of religion, people who are secularists or atheists are always searching for something in some other way, shape, or form, and always subscribe to a religion of some form. It is just not attributed to a God.
Yeah, well, that's why communism is so popular. Communism is a religion of the left that takes over. So is climate change. So is all the woke stuff. It's just another religion for people to fill their lives with some sort of meaning.
Very true.
Hell yeah, that's true.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, I had to ban another spammer on YouTube.
Ah. Hate the spammers.
Goodness gracious. Well,
it is gratifying though.
No, it feels good to ban them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we're going to get into our next story here. over the weekend, you might have heard this little fun one of a grand old party that was thrown by a one Mr. Obama. And if we have a video here, you might recognize this celeb here. That's Erykah Badu. Let's see. Wow. Well, believe it or not, that video, that Instagram story was subsequently deleted after she exposed exactly what was happening at that party, that maskless party, might I add, that unsocial distanced party, might I add.
Erykah, don't be posting that on your social media, all right?
That's pretty good.
Better be checking. Malia, get some more crab cakes in here, okay?
It's the, you know, rules for thee, but none for me sort of doctrine. You have all these politicians, all these elites, all these different artists and celebrities who are attending this party at the tune of, what, 600 or 700 people, many of whom are unvaccinated, all in this one small confined space celebrating yet another American elite who would rather you give up your liberty and freedom than to be able to live your life and fall to the whims of a virus that will do you no harm.
I've seen this all over Twitter and all the conservative accounts on Twitter tweeting about this and being like, look at the hypocrisy. Isn't it such hypocrisy? Obama, he's doing what we're supposed to be not doing. It's like, I think we've come to a point where the elites in this country do not care about their hypocrisy. They are doing this as a power move because they know they can get away with it. Why do they know they can get away with it? Because you guys won't do anything. None of us will do anything to actually stop this. So it's not some hypocritic thing where they're like, oh my goodness, we caught him in the act, and oh my goodness. They don't care. They don't give a crap. They're fine with going and doing this and having everybody know that they do this because they're untouchable and there's nothing that you can do about it.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care that you know either. It's like, look at all these videos that are circulating. Look at the drone footage of the big old tent where he's throwing his party. They do not care. And the majority of the people who have advocated for these lockdowns and for you giving up your civil liberties are going against the very same rules that they place on you. Look at all the governors who are going to their fancy dinners, some at the French Laundry, and going unmasked and sitting next to their coworkers and sitting next to their family members and their friends while you sat at home, some of you with your masks on, staying 6 feet away from your family members. It blows my mind.
Yeah, you missed your funeral for your grandma or for your dying mother because the elites told you that you weren't allowed to go out. You weren't allowed to go and have these kind of things because it was too unsafe.
Right. You missed your kid's graduation. Your kid that spent, what, how many years now in the school system to graduate and to finally go on to this next stage of life? You couldn't watch them. You couldn't attend funerals. You couldn't visit your loved ones in the hospital. There were women giving birth to children without their husbands present, without anybody in their family present, because you had to give up that liberty for COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not Obama.
Not
Obama.
Obama
was totally fine.
Yeah. Throwing a birthday party, of all things.
Gotta bust a move.
Gotta bust a move, Michelle. Michelle, move off the dance floor. I'm about to hit it, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, you know, to be fair, just to reemphasize, I guess we should say, like, have a freaking birthday party. That's great.
Yes.
What annoys us is don't be pro-lockdown. Don't shove this mandates of vaccines and double masks and all this stuff in our faces when you're not going to abide by the same thing. It just shows
the point
you,
is they're going
it
to
just
do that,
shows
though.
You don't believe it.
Right. Well, we know they don't believe it. That's what I'm saying. Like, we know that. They're all, like,
I know, but the problem
a power
is,
move.
The problem is the hypocrisy. It's not that you're having a birthday party. I don't care if you have a birthday party. I care that you're trying to impose.
I care that I'm not allowed to have
violate
a birthday
my
party.
Roots. Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's like, I care that I try to walk into a restaurant to get food, or I try to go to a grocery store and I can't without being inundated with people telling me that I need to cover, put a piece of fabric over my face that does absolutely nothing.
That's right.
But why are you 20-somethings complaining about having to wear a mask in a Chipotle?
Chipotle? How do they say it?
Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Chipotle. Yeah, we got a call when we were hosting the Dennis Prager show, and it was not a happy call. This man called us and said, "How I can't believe that two 20-somethings are complaining about having to wear a mask in a Chipotle.
Chipotle. She what?
So we went through our whole spiel, the same spiel that you guys get every week. Hopefully you guys feel armored enough to use what we say when you get in arguments with other people, because, you know, logic is at war right now.
Logic is at war?
Logic is at war. Logic
is under assault.
Pressure. He's under pressure.
Logic is under pressure. Logic.
Bobby Tarantino is under pressure right now.
Nobody's going to really understand that reference because nobody listens to his music.
I know.
But it's
you and I understand.
Logic is a rapper. Is that what I'm
saying?
Logic is a rapper.
And he had an album called Under Pressure. So we said Logic is under pressure. It was a joke.
Okay.
I'm translating it here for my fellow millennials and boomers who don't know all this stuff.
It's okay, guys. We'll get you educated. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I want to say there is always a silver lining in that people are waking up to this sort of hypocrisy and the rules for thee but none for me that is happening right now. Here's a video out of Italy of actually vaccinated Italians burning their vaccine passports. Let's get into it.
Libertà! 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 Libertà!
Libertà! Libertà! No green pass! No green pass! No green pass! No green pass! No green pass!
No green pass!
No green pass in my pasta!
Mama's tomatoes never have a green pass.
Anyways, you know what I like about this is that it bridges the gap, because a lot of people think this is a war on vaccinated versus unvaccinated, and that is certainly not the case. There are plenty of people who uphold conservative values and love their freedom and love their liberty who are being vaccinated, and that is totally your right. But it should not be the government's right to tell us what we can and cannot do with our bodies and to mandate that we carry around little papers for when we want to go and do things with our lives. And to see people who are fully vaccinated, who have their vaccine passports, step up to the bat and burn their passports is a really great thing.
It's just so dumb. There's a video that came out, I saw it today, of in that French restaurant where the police are coming by. Did you guys see that video?
Just finish explaining
it. There's a video of these people are sitting at a restaurant in France, and the people come by, the police are literally walking through the restaurant as people are sitting and eating and asking people to show
them. Where are your papers?
Literally, where are your papers? Asking them to show them their stupid vaccine papers while they're sitting at lunch. And then, but the thing is that you look at the replies to this and all the people in the comments on Twitter are like, I'm actually okay with this. Why are you freaking out about it? I'm like, dude, you got another thing coming. Read 1984, okay? Read Brave New World. I just like, dude, come on,
things are falling apart, man.
Come on, man. And then like the thing about burning, like this gesture of burning the vaccine passports is a truly wonderful thing. It's a great gesture. But I mean, like, the thing that's going to happen is it's all going to be on your phone. Like, everyone's going to have an app. It's what they're doing in New York with going into restaurants and gyms and stuff. It's all going to be on an app. So it's nice that they did that. And it's a good gesture. But
do more.
The government still knows. They still know.
They got to the computer.
Mario, get the vaccine and the passport.
We have one last story for today. It's not a happy story, but we want to end on this and talk about it a little bit and talk about where we're headed as a nation if we don't sort of take hold of our values and make sure that they're expressed in our daily lives. This is a Chicago police officer, Ella French, who was killed over this past weekend in Chicago while doing a routine traffic stop. Now, I know you've heard of the politicians out of Chicago. I will not name them by name. Sort of, you know, expressing hypocrisy at its finest. Those of them who have come out against the police over and over and sort of backed up this defund the police movement are now coming up to back this young woman who has been killed and saying, oh, well, our hearts go out to our fellow police officers and we need to express more support for them. And I would venture to say, obviously, I don't want to make too many predictions, but this does not happen in cities that are well run. And this does not happen in cities that really stand behind their police officers and build that within their society and their communities.
Oh, is it a video?
No, there's no video.
Oh, there's no. Oh, okay.
There's
I
no
thought
video.
You were about to play this as
no,
a video.
No, these are just pictures
like
of police officers coming out all over the United States, but specifically in Chicago, to mourn the life of Ella French, again, a young woman who was killed during what should have been a routine traffic stop in Chicago, a city which is known for being overrun with drug and gang violence.
I know, and you go on Twitter and you see people in replies saying, oh, this is a good thing. I mean, all just sorts of horrible people like that who are living, slithering around on the internet. So it's truly a heartbreaking thing. I hate the people who take something like this. I am not of the, I know a lot of people will say that like, oh, we shouldn't ever politicize things that happen, like tragedies that happen. Don't politicize them. But then conservatives say that and then the left politicizes everything and they take control of every single situation. So I'm not against politicizing situations. If it can be used as a learning mm-hmm. opportunity for people, like if something happens and we can say, oh, this happened for this reason, like, yeah, it's sad, but, you know, you guys get what I mean? But
yeah.
The left is politicizing this one with false information and saying that it's all because of guns and all because of gun violence that this happened. People kill people. An evil person committed this act. An evil person is the one who did this,
mm-hmm.
okay? Has nothing to do with the gun. This person could have had a knife and stabbed the person or any other type of weapon and killed the person as well. It's not the gun's fault, okay? It is the evil person's fault and the community that they have created in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, people don't understand how much their words have weight. And we can talk about politicizing situations and this and that, whether you believe that politics is downstream of culture, culture is downstream of politics, doesn't matter. They are intertwined. And when you have a nation that is so fervently against police officers, one of the most heroic jobs that you can take on in this nation, this is what's going to result of that. People are not going to care. Police officers are going to die. And I will not be surprised. Again, I say this all the time. I will not be surprised if police officers just start flying out of this occupation. There's no reason. Yeah, and they are. They are retiring early. They are leaving their cities. They are choosing, more people are choosing not to enter the police force even at all. And it's not surprising to me at all. In fact, I encourage it because if you have cities like this that want to talk about defunding the police, we see this with so many different representatives, all of which have their own private security. But I would not be surprised. Just leave. Don't do it. Because you are going to show them how their policies actually affect change and how they actually hurt our world. Any more comments?
I mean, just in general, criminals right now are emboldened because the DAs are not prosecuting people.
Right.
The laws is stacked in favor of the criminals who and they're not being taken off the street. And we just have a culture, it's been our major cities right now, of extremely soft policing. And we're not putting criminals away and behind bars. And, you know, we don't know in this specific situation, the one-off mm-hmm. tragedies like this do occur.
Right.
But it's not it's easy to draw the connection between the anti-police sentiment, the soft policing that they're not being allowed to do their jobs, and this crime is proliferating in cities. Criminals who'd otherwise would be behind bars are now are on the streets because of these soft DAs and stuff. And we've seen it. And, you know, we went to South Central LA and went on a ride along with the police, and they're like, we are not being allowed to do our jobs. And before you can have transformation at a community level with any kind of nonprofit activity, or, you know, what do they want to bring, like psychologists,
social workers.
Yeah, right. Before they can have any sort of impact whatsoever, there has to be safety. It has to be safe for people to go out of their house. Criminals can't be controlling the streets and be emboldened like they are. And there, as long as that continues, we're still going to see, like, I think there was like another 70 people shot in Chicago this weekend. Mm-hmm. And two of them were police officers.
And we hope you guys get to see that vlog soon. We are still working on it to give you the inside scoop and the inside experience of what it's actually like to be a police officer, especially in one of the most crime-ridden areas here in Los Angeles. But one of the police officers by the name of Officer Coughlin in this video says, you know, I don't mind that our community dislikes us. I don't mind that I go out and I get spit on, or I get local politicians telling me that I don't know how to do my job and that I shouldn't be in this career and that we shouldn't have police departments, period. What he minds is the fact that they are getting their hands tied behind their backs when they're trying to do their jobs. And criminals know that. The gangs know that police officers can no longer efficiently do their jobs. And they use that as an opportunity to create a larger network of organized crime, where you essentially have neighborhoods of people being controlled by nothing more than gang violence, drug abuse, prostitution, anything horrible that you can name is what's happening. And they know that they will seek no consequences whatsoever. They say every single murder that has ever occurred within their precinct, they have solved, but yet they have been unable to prosecute and arrest the people who need to be prosecuted and arrested because of the strong grip that these gangs have on these communities. It's disgusting.
Yeah, super sad. And the elites don't care at all. They could care less.
Right. So big thank you to anybody who chooses to be a police officer these days, because it is not easy, and it should be a much more respected profession.
Yes, it should be.
Amen.
And I think that's where we're going to end it, right there, with hopefully a message of being grateful for what you have, standing up for your values, and making sure that your community is strong and has a good foundation on what is right and wrong, because we can lose that very quickly. And when we do, people get hurt. People lose their lives. So thank you guys for watching. If you like this stream, please like, subscribe, hit the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. If you'd like to be texted when we go live, text live to 41776. That's a system we're still working on, but we will hopefully get you text here in the near future. Also, we are on Apple and Spotify as a podcast now, so you can go on those apps, search Will and Amala Live, and check out our stream and simply listen to
it. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. Do not leave us
on Apple.
Yes, on Apple, and that helps us rank. That's how you can support the show, and give us a like while you're at it on YouTube today and help the algorithm.
If everyone could go and just comment how good my mustache looks, we would be the number one podcast in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Even though people can't see it, they would want to listen.
Wait, what do you mean? They can see it.
Not on the audio
Apple
podcast.
No. You can hear the mustache.
Will's mustache sounded great today.
Yeah. You can hear that energy.
I heard it bristle against the microphone a few times. It was amazing.
He's doing it right now.
Let's give him
some ASMR.
Okay, guys, we'll see you tomorrow at 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern.
Peace. Bye.